I'm telling you work in progress right now, so I'm trying to understand moving groups in the solar vicinity, in particular Hercules. So I start right away with a plot from Gaia. This is Antoine et al. So this is the azimuthal velocity of the stars in within 200 parsec.
Yes.
Yeah, and these are the radial velocity. So this is what is called Hercules, where many of you already know about this. So in the, you know, in the velocity space, the velocity distribution is not smooth, but it has substructures or stripes or you know, structures. So I'm particularly interested in Hercules because I think it's the most, for two reasons. First, it's the most studied moving group in the solar neighborhood. And second, because 20% of the stars, more or less, are in the Hercules feature in the solar neighborhood. More or less 20%. So I think it's maybe not the most overdense, as you can see it here. It's maybe diffuse, but it's abundant in stars. So the fraction is pretty high. So it's also interesting because it was, I believe, predicted by Kalnaish, 1991, as the sign, the signature of the outer limbal resonance of the bar in the Milky Way. And it was actually studied better from Denen when Hipparchus came out, and it was actually showing Denen that if the sun is here, and this is the galactic center, and you know the bar is going in this direction, so the sun, so if the bar is around 3 kiloparsec, like in the models at that time, the outer limbal resonance would be between the sun and the galactic center. So the sun will receive you know, a certain amount of stars that are scattered in the outer limbal resonance, and then in the local standard of rest, they look like as you know, stars with a negative radial velocity and negative v in the local standard of rest. So it would be basically where Hercules is. And so this, you know, was valid, has been valid so far, you know, until we believe that the bar is 3 kiloparsec and the pattern speed are pretty high. I believe that in Denen or in other previous works, the pattern speed were around 53 kilometers per second per kiloparsec. So that was the, what was quoted before. Now, why I think it's very interesting these days looking at into Hercules or maybe even in the solar neighborhood, because according to other works that came out more recently, there was one paper last week, I believe, from the Cambridge people, but there's also another paper that's been published since you know 3 or 4 years from the Weg et al. From Ortwin and Gerhard, the MPE group. So they found combining different sets of data from VVV surveys, of photometry, some spectroscopy. They seem to fit, to match the data only if the bar is not 3 kiloparsec, but larger than that. And the pattern speed seems to be actually lower than 53 kilometers per second per kiloparsec. So they quote something around 39 kilometers per second per kiloparsec, 41 maybe the paper of last week. So it's significantly slower in the pattern speed and seems to be longer. So this has an effect. And the effect is that the resonances, at least the outer limbal resonance, is going to be in a different location on the Milky Way. So we want to see, for example, is you know how this change is going to affect the local neighborhood, if it does, and how Hercules can be explained in a scenario where maybe the bar is not so short. So how I try to do that? So I set up a simulation that is aimed to match some specific properties of the Milky Way. So it tries to reproduce the rotation curve as a software tile. The rotation curve are these symbols here, the empty symbols. It's accurate, or let's say, we can believe it between 4 and 8 kiloparsec. So these are my models. So there's a halo, a disk, a bulge, a total disk plus bulge. And this is the total rotation curve that fits in the initial conditions between 4 and 8 kiloparsec, the data. Here, there's no bar in my initial conditions. The simulation is called the Galakos. It's the ancient name for galaxy from you know, the Greek ones. It was not taken from others. So yeah, Galactia, I would have preferred the Latin one, but it was already taken. So there's no bar at the beginning, so an initial condition is only a disk in a dark matter halo. And of course, you always want to start with a galaxy that has a distribution where the Q parameter is always larger than one, because you want to start with a disk that it's stable. So these are the numbers I have. So I try to match in the properties what is known from the annual review from Orvin Gerhard and Jostland Autor. So let's say I'm assuming that is our current knowledge of the Milky Way, and there is no gas in the simulation so far. So that's how it looks like. So initially, there's no bar. So initially, it actually develops, you know, for arms. So this is in the polar, these are the residuals in the polar coordinates, and this is the face-on view. So around 3 giga years of evolution, it's more or less where the bar is roughly 5 kiloparsecs, which is more or less what maybe matches today the current data. So you start seeing now that, you know, it forms a bar here, you can see it, and it becomes, you know, it's more or less after 3 giga years, I decided this was a possible current time for the simulation. So first thing I did is to look at which are the dominant features in the galaxy. So you look at the path and speed of the different non-axis symmetry features. So it shows up very strongly in M equal 2, M equal 4, also in M equal 6, in all the modes. So it's very strongly basically the bar, which is here. The path and speed is around 35 kilometers per second per kiloparsec. There are also some spiral arms, as you can see here. So they have a lower path and speed. But the first thing to notice is that now, you know, if you look at the path and speed as a function of time, you can also see how the resonance, what are resonances, for example, for the current time, you know, for where the sun is at the current time in the simulation, and how they move also, you know, by time, because they will move out in radius. So if the bar is that long, actually the outer limbular resonance is now at 11.5 kiloparsec. And you can see here, this is the outer limbular resonance of the bar. So it's much farther out than the sun. So I guess if this is the case, then Hercules cannot be stars scattered outwards from the outer limbular resonance, must be something else. And so, and then of course you can look at the other, for example, the co-rotation is around 6.5 kiloparsec at this time. If I go a little bit earlier, it's around 6 kiloparsec. So that's where I chose the sun. So the sun is more or less according again to the current data. It seems that it's around 28 or 30 degrees, you know, displaced with respect to the bar. So it's lagging behind. So the bar is actually a little bit faster than the sun. So two possibilities for a choose of the sun are here and here. For example, I choose one of those.
Sorry, can you just briefly say, how do you calculate a pattern
speed? Okay, I can go into details. Okay. So I've used, I've used basically, so it's basically a Fourier transform analysis convolved in time. And there are some papers that I can show you what has been done, but and I followed what has been done in the past. And it works pretty well.
How constant is it? Mm-hmm. What kind of time range is that value?
So this is I divided in. So this is it's computed every 500 million years. So it's a two galactic radius, more or less.
So that 22 kilometers.
Sorry, to the two galactic years.
Okay, so that 22 is valid for a good couple of rotations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they did it every 500 million years, I reconfigure the path and speed. So you can see initially, I don't have it right now with me, but I can show you later. So initially, you know, the bar is a higher speed. And then, you know, by time, as Martin was saying, actually, you know, the path and speed of the bar decreases. And you see also that, you know, the spiral arms always usually have a lower path and speed than.
You have a light halo?
I have a light halo, yes. In total, I have 90 million particles between halo and bulge and stars.
Four curves, inner limbular, and then what?
Sorry?
The four curves, what are they? The black curve, the
outer. Okay, so yes, they are the inner. So this is the outer limbular resonance, inner limbular resonance. This is, you know, this is basically the inner ultraharmonics, outer ultraharmonics. So when, you know, when the ridge intersects, the lines, more or less, we can identify the region where the resonance is at that time, because by time they're going to move. Of course, you know, the bar is going to move slowly, more slower, so the resonance is related to the bar. We slowly move, but they do. So, okay, let me show you what I get. So this is at the time where I decided that I want to analyze, one of the times we analyze the simulation, let's say the current time. This is at 8.2 kiloparsec. I took a patch around the sun. And this is the data of Gaia, and this is Galacos. So this is basically what identifies as Hercules. So I see here kind of a gap. And here, you know, there's a... So that's what I get, if, you know, if I put the sun at 30 degrees. Now, what I did is to identify now the region that is called Hercules, so below the gap, take the particles and trace them back to know where they come from.
Is the color scheme the same? Is the color scheme the same anymore?
Here they didn't. This is from the Fracudi et al. Paper. I think it's Katz's plot.
Probably the same.
They don't have a scale. I don't know what they put here.
No, I mean, it's like the same colors, but you have a brighter thing.
I think it's inverted.
It's inverted, right?
Yeah. I think, yeah, here the brighter is black, and here the brighter is white. Sorry. Okay, where do they come from? So today, we are now in the rest frame of the bar. So today, Hercules is here, where the sun is. The blue circle here is the solar radius. And here I have the different resonances. So the red points here is the co-rotation of the bar at the time, at the current time. This is the inner harmonics, and this is the outer limbular resonance. So I take the particles here in Hercules, and I follow them in time, back in time. So the bar, has some Lagrangian points, which are, for example, the most interesting are L4, L5. They are located here, perpendicular to the long axis of the bar. These are stable Lagrangian points. And then there are other two Lagrangian points here, which are actually, these are the stable ones, and these are the unstable ones. So where they come from? So initially, the stars are distributed like an exponential disk into the disk. Then after some time, you start forming the bar. So many stars are still, crossing in the rest frame of the bar. They're still crossing the disk. So they're not trapped. They still, cross the stars that will be end up in being Hercules. They're just crossing the disk. But after, when the bar becomes strong, after a certain time, so the bar, induces torques because it's an 180-degree symmetry, so it's an inequal 2. So it's the torque that the stars feel, in the rest frame of the bar now, induce them to start losing and gaining and losing angular momentum. So at a certain point, they will not be able to cross the disk any longer. But they start getting librating around one of the Lagrangian points. And that what happens exactly to the stars of Hercules. So they are librating. My Hercules is here, is this choice, so are librating around, let's say, L4 in this scheme. So they are actually trapped at the co-rotation. Now to... and you can see here that when they get trapped, they are actually, they are librating around the Lagrangian point in the rest frame of the bar. Now, it's exactly for the reason that, the angular, it's because, they are here, the stars are gaining angular momentum, here they are losing, and the same, it's asymmetric. And so this means that if I go now to the opposite sun, so a patch 180 degrees, I could find the other stars now, the twin of Hercules, which will be trapped at the other Lagrangian point. And, I forgot about that one. I think it's this one, yes. So if you go on the other patch, they are actually librating around the other Lagrangian point. So they are trapped. It's a symmetric problem. So they are completely mirrored. Now, how do we know if, I try to understand a bit better the trapping. Unfortunately, it's not very It's not yet, I haven't looked at the orbits really yet. However, this is the way I'm realizing that they're actually trapped besides just looking at the movie, okay? So I computed the radial action that for stars, it's more or less proportional to the eccentricity, so the amplitude of the epicycle, and this is the guiding radii. So initially, this is in the initial time, and this is the same plot, but this is the cylindric radius. So the yellow points here are the Hercules stars at the beginning, and the background is the entire disk, so it's the actions in the entire disk. If you let it go, you will see that by time the Hercules stars, start getting, show you, because it's chopped, unfortunately. Yeah, so they get, closer and closer until, they get trapped around 0.8 and 0.5, 0.9 of the angular momentum of where the sun is, which is exactly where Hercules is, because those are the stars that are in the region of Hercules. So, and indeed, they are around 8.2 of the cylindric radius.
I am very confused, because you're talking about the angular momentum of the stars, which is depends upon where they are in their orbit, because they're changing continuously, because they're trapped in the bar potential. So the
The guiding radii is trapped there. So the guiding radii is exactly where the co-rotation is of the bar. And then their cylindric radius can also change. At the end, it will be at 8 kiloparsec. But at 8 kiloparsecs, it's where they are today, their cylindric radius. But their guiding radii is actually trapped where the co-rotation of the bar is. Let me show you. Maybe it will be more clear. If not, you can ask me more.
Well, these are what Cantopoulos call long-period orbits.
Yeah, I think this is the emerging picture that I'm getting.
Yeah.
So this is the Lagrangian point, okay?
I understand.
Right, so the sun is here. So what we call Hercules in this model, assuming that the bar is so strong or whatever, are stars that are librating around the Lagrangian point, so they have their guiding radii at that co-rotation of the bar, but they are energetic. So because they are energetic and they are very, they have a high eccentricity, are the ones that we see at the sun. So they are just, the tail of the distribution that will reach the sun because they are on a very centric orbit.
I completely agree.
I
misunderstood my question. All I'm saying is in the previous plots, you were plotting angular momentum. Angular momentum is not an invariant quantity for an orbit that's trapped.
Okay.
It's changing continuously as it moves around the orbit. And so I was wondering what you meant by angular momentum.
I think I was computing actually the azimuthal action. So isn't that guiding radii? Yeah.
That's very sophisticated. You can't do that action.
Well, if I do that, for me, this means basically the trapping, which I'm totally with you.
Sorry,
it's not very formal.
Carry on.
I have to say that it's not yet, I don't have a way yet to show exactly the trapping better than this, okay? And I want to understand it better because I don't have the orbits yet, so I have to compute better the orbits. However, to me, the fact that, the stars get their guiding radii at the same location means that they are trapped at the co-rotation of the bar. And they're basically trapped by the Lagrangian point. And, if I look at the stars here, for example, if I take a patch of stars here, this doesn't happen because they never get trapped between L1 and L2 because those are unstable points. Yes. So the picture that's emerging in this scenario is that we have, when we have a bar of that length, that means that the outer limular resonance is actually outside the sun, farther out. The Lagrangian point of the bar becomes important for Hercules, at least in this model. So this means that we are going to get basically stars, the stars of Hercules, there will be more stars here trapped, okay? But the ones that reach the sun are just those on Trojan orbits, so the ones that are librating around the Lagrangian point. Now, which are the predictions here? I'm trying to understand a bit better what we can predict for Gaia, for example. So if this is true, it means that when we go beyond, if we take patches now beyond, at the solar radius beyond where we are, so you know, if we increase here the azimuth with respect to the bar, we go in this direction, we should see still very strong feature, the gap, which is actually the sign of the trapping.
There's a plot in the Casa del paper where you have 9 patches. That doesn't go out far enough?
I don't think so. Because instead, when we start going ahead of the sun, there will be a point when we reach basically almost L2 that we shouldn't see the gap of the co-rotation of the bar. But after some times, we will see the other twin of Hercules. Because if we go along the sun, the solar radius, at a certain point we will see the twin. Because those are the other stars that are trapped at the other location, at the other Lagrangian point, because it's a symmetric problem. So I guess I'm trying to understand now if there is a clear prediction that could distinguish between the outer limblar resonance if it is close to the sun, or if it's a co-rotation of the bar, if the bar is longer, because I don't have a way to constrain the bar here. I'm just assuming that the bar is longer. So last thing, no, I think it's everything. Yeah, that's everything. So I'm trying to understand, which kind of predictions we can make, which are different from the idea of the outer limblar resonance.
So as you go from the sun towards L4, so that changes the tip, the sort of amplitude of libration will get smaller, right? How does that project into VR, V5? What will that do to...
No, I think we're going to see the same features, right? It's just that the ones we see here is the tail. When we move here, we will see more and more stars that will cover...
Do you expect that the gap between the Hercules and both of the distribution changes, or the angle at which...
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to understand. If I can ever, yes.
I've been made in the past.
Yes.
Not for this case, I don't know.
Because in the
issue,
in the geotropic approximation, the stars move along the equipotentials, right? So the amplitude of the vibration should change as you get closer to L4.
Yeah. I don't have the orbits yet, but yes, it should be. We should see more, and we should still see the gap, but maybe because we start having a different angle with respect to the bar, I will be curious to see how the gap is going to change with respect to the sun. But we're going to see stronger and stronger feature, whereas if we go ahead, we shouldn't see the contribution of the, we shouldn't see Trojan orbits for Hercules if we go ahead on the sun, because at a certain point in this region cannot trap. So they want, even if they, let's say, if I go here, at least this is my understanding, it's hardly to have stars that, even if they have the eccentricity to reach that point, once they arrive here, they will get again unbound, so they won't be trapped any longer. So basically, there will be a time when those stars get also entrapped again.
And I would then naively think that this would be like the superposition of the local velocity structure plus another distribution. But what is the gap then?
Okay, the gap, I think, but then it's still in progress, okay? So I think the reason why we have a gap is that because they have the same, because they are trapped at co-rotation, and they have the guiding radii at co-rotation.
Guiding radii.
Yes. This means that they have a certain azimuthal velocity, which has, we'll have the variation of the region of the co-rotation. I mean, it's the area, would be the radius of the co-rotation. So they have a gap because our stars that have the same guiding radii, so same azimuthal velocity, similar azimuthal velocity, but they can have any radial velocity. So at that point, it's a signature of the trapping at the bar. Whereas for the outer limblar resonance, it's still a gap, but it will be for a different physics. It will be stars scattered out. So it will be stars that are now dispersed at the resonance. So you are pointing also a very good question, because it seems to me what I'm getting now, looking at even the outer limb, the resonance, I can go, you know, to the outer limb, the resonance, I'm doing the same to see, you know. And Hercules is a different kind of star, so it's a different physics. But the gap, I can see a gap there too. So to me, so if I combine what I said yesterday about actions or the UV plot now, I'm getting to the point that I don't know if the UV plot in the solar vicinity can really tell us how to distinguish the different resonances, because it might be that they are degenerative, but degenerate, sorry.
There has been work already by Teresa, right? And she was, I think it was a resonance, but also making predictions for various patches where you see that the gap moves.
This was stuff that they did with Rave a couple years ago. They did with Rave. Okay, to look at the carbonyl plots as well. But yeah, the question indeed is, can you actually distinguish between the two processes? I don't know. Well, I guess this is a clear prediction, I would say, that it's not for the outer limb resonance at this point.
So the azimuthal symmetry is different for the OLR than it is for this. So if you go ahead and behind, I think the way that works is that you see similar stuff.
My question is if we could, how
if
far
it's the
we
OLR,
can go
with this, but
how far we can go with that on the solar. That means something I'm interested to discuss with the DR3, for example, ahead of the sun. Because that would be a clear prediction.
Yeah.
And of course, if you know, independently, one could figure out what is the, if someone is able to tell us exactly what is the, you know, the pattern speed of the ball and, you know, and the length, that would tell us where the corrotation is. So in this model, we get these stars, you know, at the solar vicinity because the corrotation is shifted to larger radius, so it's more or less a 6 kiloparsec. So more, even it might even a little bit longer. So, you know, it's closer to the sun. So we start getting all these stars that populated the Hercules.
I have a question for the data hounds, because I mean, it seems that the main thing, independent of the dynamics, seems that the main thing of interest here is that there are appear to be different populations with different guiding centers, and they mean something. We don't know exactly what they mean yet, but they mean something. And so if that's the case, then focusing on the morphology of the gap seems to be a red herring. It's going to depend on the details of the distribution of the material in the tails and how they add up. So my question for the data hounds, are you convinced that there's information in the gap as opposed to where the centers of the populations are?
That's not a data-only question when you use the word information. There's definitely a gap. There's a statistically significant underdensity.
Yeah. Right, but if you would get that from putting multiple populations at random in places, you get weird contours that look like gaps. And I'm saying,
sure,
are those the significant? Are those of significance in interpretation?
But the data is just what the data is. You have to, it depends on the model then, and what predictions that makes, et cetera.
You could look at it this way too, right? The distribution of stars in these models that ends up in the solar neighborhood, like the location and the locations in that plot, in that plane, where there are stars and where there are not stars are equally informative in my view, right? Because the same process is driving stars away from some subset of velocities as is driving it towards other velocities.
Only if, they, if there's a dynamic there.
If there's a dynamical reason for this, then that's the case,
the
right?
Dynamics
so,
could cause a gap, I suppose.
But, so that's what people saying. Argue is either in the OLR explanation or in this explanation, the gap is caused by the fact that there's some kind of resonant interaction going on.
I think the bar is important
really?
Because the gap is so huge that, I mean, there are also other things, there's sparrows and other, but really for the gap that divides Hercules from the main mode, it seems to me that the bar has is very significant. Now, if it is the outer limb resonance or if it is the corrotation, it depends really on the model. But because at this point, if someone, like you know, the people are we're doing now, they're trying to constrain the pattern speed of the bar. If we learn something, you know, about that, then that's what I'm doing. I'm trying, you know, to rerun the simulations, you know, from what we know from another point of view to try to constrain the solar neighborhood. But my, yeah, I mean, if I just look at, you know, this distribution of stars in the solar neighborhood, I'm not sure if I can really compelly and say it's exactly this.
Not only by looking at solar neighborhood, you need to look at more.
Right. So
whether it's a gap or whether it's an extra distribution offset from the bulk, I mean, that's the way you look at it. Basically.
I think we need to get out from
yeah.
the solar neighborhood some way. It's, I mean,
I guess my point is if the stars are where the information is, then where the information isn't, may not be that interesting. But I agree, if you think that where the information is has a dynamical reason, then it's important.
So to me, what those,
it's not just
as a theorist, I was interested also in understanding what the physics is behind. You know, and of course, this is what you can test with making models and, you know, looking at which predictions you make, and you can learn about the physics about. But, I'm not sure if, you know, it's equally, I would say it's equally a good fit as maybe other papers on the outer limb organisms. They can also fit that case. So I wouldn't say that. I don't think we have enough information to distinguish unless we are, for sure, we take one value for the pattern speed of the bar.
Sorry, let's thank Eleanor.